Dawn.
Welcome back to the Omniverse Comics Guide. I'm Dave, and I'm joined once again by Raf Cascarino, who's back to give us the heads up on manga that's about to hit the English-speaking market. Raf has the advantage of speaking Japanese, so he can give us his opinion on the books before they hit the shelves in the West. Raf-san, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, Dave-san.
How you doing, my dude?
Pretty great. How about yourself?
I'm the greatest there is. Wow. I don't know at what, but one day I'll figure that out.
Looking forward to that day.
So, mister, you normally have some surprising little titles to work through before we get into our three choices for the quarter. This time we're due to be focusing on releases from July to September 2026. Have you managed to find any little gems?
So yes, I have, as usual, you know, I have three different manga to recommend for that quarter. I think you're going to be surprised by what I've picked. I hope so. Because, if you're not, then I think we have to stop that podcast right away because I have nothing more to teach you.
But this is the last show.
It could be the last one. So enjoy it while you can.
Will do.
But yeah, and before that, as you mentioned, I have some titles for you. This time I couldn't find any sexy titles. I know you love those, but I couldn't. So instead, I've picked the longest titles I could find. Okay. I'm looking at my notes right now, and I've just written titles too long to give a shit. But that's a bit harsh because, you know, the books could still be good, but I'm sorry, I was bored by the end of the title and I didn't go any further, so I hope you have some time because they are quite long.
Let's strap in.
Keep in mind they are just titles, so they're on the cover of the book. I don't know how they fit, but they are. So here's the first one. My useless cuddle skill awakened, and now I'm building the ultimate harem.
What?
It's the shortest one of the list.
give us one more time then, dude, because I need to absorb that one.
The same one? Okay. My useless cuddle skill awakened, and now I'm building the ultimate harem.
Wow. Okay. Did you not read that one?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I don't know. I'm not big into the harem kind of manga. It's a genre in itself. Yes.
Get out.
Having
a
guy.
Why am I shocked?
So it could be like a romantic harem style, which means you have usually one male characters and like several female characters, and things are happening with all of them. And in the end, he'll pick the right one, the one he really loves.
Oh, okay.
They can be dressed or they can be naked, depending on who's reading the book. But anyway,
depending on who's reading the book, we're not writing. It's all in your mind.
Sorry, writing. Yes, of course. Damn.
Rambled. It's all good. Dude, what have you got for your second?
Okay, the second one. The obsessed mage and his beloved statue bride. She cannot resist his seductive voice.
Does it need that additional she cannot resist his seductive
Probably
voice?
Probably not. Probably not. You have there's a colon before that, actually. So it's like two sentences for one title.
That is...
Okay. It's getting longer. History of the Kingdom of Orksen, how the barbarian Orkish nation came to burn down the peaceful elf land. So yeah, you don't need to read the book
pick
anymore.
One title or another. You do, don't you? God. Have you got any more?
Okay. Yes, of course, we're getting to the really good ones. Magic Repo Man, dumped by my party, I'll cash in with a cute support fairy to become the strongest.
It just feels so unnecessary. How do they get all this on a cover?
I don't know. You got me there. I don't know. I have no idea.
Is it because the symbols make it fit together better?
I mean, in Japanese, it could be way shorter with characters, but I don't think the Japanese title are that, are they? They could be, though. I see that very often with the what they call the isekai manga. So isekai means another world. It means another world. So tons of manga now where the main character dies or goes to sleep or something and wakes up in another world with a special skill or something. And they tend to have like very, very long titles. I don't know why.
How odd.
Anyway, I have one last one, which is the longest of the list. The villainess who came to marry into the frontier noble's household is an exceptionally capable wife, isn't she?
I love the level of engagement. It's not just going to leave it at that. It needs your opinion.
Yes, of course.
Isn't she, though? Isn't she?
Isn't she? Like... So, yeah, anyway, sorry, we are making fun of the titles. Maybe the books are good for some people. They were not my cup of tea, so I didn't like push any further, but at least the titles were hilarious. And yes, kudos to the translators who came up with those fantastic titles.
I need to order at least one of these books at one point, just so I can say the full title and have them write all of it down in the shop.
Ask the clerk, do you have the villainess who came to marry into the frontier noble's household is an exceptionally capable wife, isn't she?
If they get one bit of that title wrong, it might never turn out. Well, there's an intro and a half. We should maybe lengthen the title of this series just to keep in line with that.
Yeah, I think your podcast titles are too short.
So, dude... shall we dive into our three choices for this quarter?
Yes.
Your three choices, I should say.
Yeah, but I hope you'll pick some of them, or at least
I'm open.
You'll find them interesting. So as usual, I've got a theme. And I'm surprised we haven't done it before, actually. I mean, we kind of did, but it's a very simple... very simple theme.
Yeah.
The three mangas I've chosen, they all star a female lead, a female character as the main character.
That's cool.
Not girls this time, not young girls, like women. But other than that, they're all very different.
This is a good spin. I like it. Do you want to take us through your first choice then, my dude?
All right. The first one is called You Might As Well Be The One.
You Might As Well Be The One. That sounds very resigned.
Shorter title, but efficient.
Yeah, it does the job. So what's You Might As Well Be The One about?
Yeah, anyway, so You Might As Well Be The One. It's written by Megumi Saito, and it's going to be published by Kodansha in August. It's about Ichika, a college student who wants to experience a normal romance, but she has a really flashy appearance, which often leads to misunderstandings. She's really good-looking, she's tall, she's a beautiful woman, so, you know, when she's walking down the street, men tend to look at her and try to approach her, but she's kind of like a very pure, you know, she's looking for Prince Charming, and she wants like a really traditional romance. So hoping to finally meet someone special, she attends a drinking party where she meets Kosei, a man who is very, very kind to her. They share the same hobbies, they enjoy talking together. And then she finds herself drawn to him because, you know, he tells her, like, she's just great the way she is. However, he has a secret.
Oh, you're not going to stop there, are you?
No, I'm not. So that's really the beginning of the book. His secret, it's not a big secret, is that he's a player. He's sleeping with several different women, and he's not shy about it. So she's kind of taken aback by that, and you know, she thought he could be the one, but he's apparently not what she's looking for. And you know, when she talks to him about it, he tells her like, yeah, but don't worry, I'm not into girls who want a serious relationship anyway, so I'm not interested in you. Mm-hmm. But they're still really good friends, you know, they really match with each other. They're doing good together. They kind of become like best friends, and she can't help herself about being attracted to him. She shouldn't fall for him, but she does. At the same time, he keeps telling her like, yeah, don't fall for me because, you know, you're just gonna hurt yourself.
So is there a sign maybe he's starting to alter his view of things a bit? Was that the point?
In the first volume, not yet. I'm thinking it's going to get to that at some point, but in the first volume, he's still really set on this, like, I'm not looking for a serious relationship. If you want to give it a shot, it's at your own risk. So if I were you, I wouldn't. So there's always that tension between the two of them. They both know what they want. They both realize that the other, like, isn't really what they're looking for. And at the same time, there is that chemistry that
just
kind of brings them together.
Right. Oh, that sounds that sounds kind of interesting. And the art looks, the covers at least, you know, looks really nice.
Yeah, so it's a shoujo manga, so for women, but with a really, I really enjoyed the art too. As usual, everyone looks very beautiful, handsome, pretty, whatever, you know. All the women are good looking, all the men are tall and slender, and they all have like amazing fashion sense and everything, but that's part of the game, isn't it?
I guess it is. There's something I've noticed as well, though, about a lot of these things. Is this set in Japan?
It is set in Japan, yes.
It seems there's an awful lot of blonde-haired women in some of the, or characters in some of the stuff I've been reading. Is that quite standard for a lot of leads?
So I think a lot of young women in Japan, especially when they're in college, tend to change the color of their hair.
Oh, they do.
The reason being that usually when you're like in school or in high school, it's a bit more strict. So you're not free to like arrange your hair the way you want, you know, have a flashy color or something. And once you graduate from college and you join a company, usually you need to, you know, dye your hair black again. At least for the first few years. So college for Japanese people, I mean, for a lot of other people, obviously, but in Japan too, it's really a time of freedom where people experience also with themselves. You know, they'll change their look, they'll change their fashion, they'll try new hobbies, new activities. And I think you can find that in a lot of fiction works too. However, there are a lot of manga and anime where characters have hair of several different colors without any reason, just because it looks great. Probably.
Just because it looks cool, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. When you come to Japan, you'll notice most people, you know, they have black hair or dark hair.
Mm.
But if all your characters look the same in your manga, that's not a great appeal point.
No, it does kind of make it harder if everyone's kind of drawn in a similar style, and they've all got two similar looks. You're not going to be able to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
How far through have you read this series?
I've only read one volume, the first one, and in Japan it's up to volume 6. It's still going on. I don't know how it will be after a few volumes, because at least in the first volume, there are really only those two characters. So for things to evolve, I think at some point they will probably introduce other characters, maybe a new girl or a new guy, or I'm not sure, but
someone
that's
who might
usually how it
take
goes.
Her interest that might sway him a little bit, potentially.
Yeah, when you have a love story in a manga in Japan, there's usually a love triangle.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So we'll see. It's not super original. It's well drawn. It's well written. It's an easy read. So if you're looking for your daily dose of Japanese shoujo manga, then that's probably the one to go for.
Nice choice. And an interesting start to the episode. All right, then. What else have you got for us?
I'm going to kill the mood a little with the next one.
Okay. Now I'm a little
scared.
But
it's an interesting one. I promise it's worth it. Okay. It's called Hand in Hand with Mu-chan. Lessons from my autistic daughter.
So that is, God, you were talking about I didn't think you were going to have any long titles in this.
I do.
God, that's a big one.
Yeah, with a colon again. So Hand in Hand with Mu-chan.
Is that M-U-C-H-A-N?
M-U-U, then you have an hyphen, and C-H-A-N.
Got you.
We had, you know, you had san to people's name in Japan, like a Mr. or Mrs. Ah. And chan is usually for young girls, or at least younger women, or people you are very close to. Moo-chan could be like my dear Chan or my sweet Moo, sorry, or my dear Moo or something like that.
Okay. So but this one from Yen Press.
It's from Yen Press. It's written by Lee Minato and it's coming out August 26th. As you can guess from the title, Lessons from My Autistic Daughter, it's not really a fun one.
It's not.
No.
What's it about? The title does say quite a lot, but
about her autistic daughter, but
all right. Surprise.
So Moo-chan is a 1.5-year-old girl who can't even say hello, daddy, or mommy. So it quickly becomes clear that she might have autism. But her dad is initially unsupportive about it. However, her mother, Aya, is determined to move forward and live her life with her and, you know, learn more about her autism and how to deal with it. But it's based on the author's experience, and it's really like it depicts a family's love and, you know, how they live their life with their autistic daughter, how they learn about autism, how they learn to accept it. It obviously takes more time for the dad than for the mom. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interesting because, if someone is listening to that and thinks like, I'm wrong, I'm saying shit, please do tell me. But I feel that in Japan, people are still really looking at autism like it's a disease that you can cure, you know?
Right. Or
it's just kids that are, you know, noisy or that, you know, that the problem is from the parents or anything. So it's still a bit backwards.
Do you think that's potentially, this is trying to change that, and there may be a few other creators are trying to change that view?
I think the author, so who is the mom of an autistic girl, I think she learned, I mean, it's what happened to her, right? And I think before it happened to her, she was the same, you know, she didn't really think it could happen to her or at least to her family. And, you know, in the first volume, there is that that scene with her, the mother's mother, so the grandmother, who keeps like almost harassing her, you know, take more care of your daughter. You need to teach her how to talk and, you know, don't worry about it. In a few years, she'll be fine. She'll be normal again. But then she's fighting with the grandma and saying, no, it's not, it doesn't work that way.
No.
It's not like, you know, there is something wrong with her or she's broken or something. She's just different and you have to accept that. So that's really emotional.
Yeah.
Because you have all the different members of the family who deal with it differently. And most of them, at least in the first volume, they get to terms with it at some point, but not all at the same time. You know, it takes a different time for different people. And I think it's really showcasing how Japanese society tends to look at autism and just disabilities in general in Japan.
Wow. That is not one of the choices I thought you'd put forward for something like this. So it's, the art style's quite loose looking on the cover. Like it's very soft, isn't it? Is that the same approach they take inside? And do you think that works for the subject matter?
It's the same inside. It's a really traditional shoujo manga kind of style. So thin lines and it's very soft. It's not the strong point of the manga, obviously. Hmm. I think here, more than the art, what's important, what matters, is really the story.
Message. Yeah.
The message, yeah.
How far along is this now in Japan?
It's up to volume 8 in Japan. It isn't over yet. From what I've seen, at least from the cover, I think by volume 8, the girl seemed to be a bit older, maybe like in elementary school or something. So when I read the first volume, that's what I thought was like, I'd like to see how she evolves and how her parents deal with her growing up, because it's obviously going to be different when she enters school and when, you know, she becomes a teen and then an adult and everything. So I hope they're going to, like, you know, treat that in the manga, but it seems that there's definitely an evolution there, a progression.
Well, that's cool.
So
that's
it might
quite
be worth keeping up with it.
Yeah. It'd be. I wonder how close it is as well. Like to autobiographical approach actually is. It sounds like it might well be fairly close. I don't know if considering if there's stigma attached to it, I wonder how that impacts her daughter in the real world.
I haven't thought about that, but you're making a very, great point. I don't know. I wish I could answer you. But yeah, that's... I mean, obviously, you know, the mother kind of know where she stands now.
Mm.
And, you know, she's been fighting probably for the rights of her own daughter first, but probably for people with autism in Japan. And I think that's why the message is so important. But I think it's a very good one to compare with, you know, how we talk about autism in other countries.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because I think, you know, people are a bit more open about it in recent years, which I think is really great.
It's great. But I don't think there's the understanding still, though, is there?
No. And that's what I liked in that manga is that, you know, it's also... touches on people who don't understand it and don't want to. That's the problem with the dad at the beginning. It's not like he doesn't know what it is. It's not like he doesn't understand it. He just doesn't want to accept it.
Yeah, that sounds like it. I wonder as well, if like, because sometimes it's genetic and it travels through the genes. Well, it is genetic. It's not, that's the thing. It's not an illness, is it?
Yeah.
So sometimes it can make some parents feel uncomfortable because they realize which set of genes it's primarily come from. So that could be quite awkward, I think, for some parents. But yeah, that's quite an interesting, insightful read by the sound of it.
I highly recommend it. You know, it wasn't what I was expecting myself to pick, but when I read it, I was really like drawn into it. A lot of emotional scenes, a very strong message, and to see how different people react differently to the situation, that was great, really.
So far, that's my winning pickup.
Nice.
Yeah, which that surprises all round, man. Excellent and interesting choice. We've not had anything like that so far yet, have we, on this series?
I don't think so, yes. I tend to go for the fun one or violent ones or the one with a lot of cleavage or everything, but yeah, not this time.
It's always good to vary it up, man. It's always good. No, that's great. Thank you. So we've had You Might As Well Be The One, Hand in Hand with Mu-chan. What's your final pick for tonight?
Okay, the final one is called May I Ask For One Final Thing. So I kept it for, you know, last because obviously it's the one I enjoy the most. It's written by Nana Otori and Sora Honoki. It's being published by Alpha Police, which actually is the Japanese publisher, and apparently they're starting like right now to publish their own books and mangas on the English market too. And it's coming out July 28th.
Just having a quick sneaky peek at the artwork.
I love the art.
That cover looks pretty damn cool. I can't actually guess though what it's... Well, I could try and guess, but I'm not going to. I'll let you explain what it's about.
Okay, let me set up the whole thing. We're in the middle of a ball, and Scarlett is suddenly told by second-in-line Prince Kyle that their engagement is off. But to make matters worse, she's falsely accused of heinous crimes and denounced as a villainess by many nobles present at the party. So she has had to put up with the prince's nonsense for years, but this time she's had enough of that idiot. So she agrees to end the engagement. However, she makes one final request. She asks him, as a final favor, may I knock you all out? And then she punches the fuck out of him.
What?
Yeah, I love it. It's the story of a princess. It's the story of a princess punching people. How not to love that?
That is not what I was expecting, especially after the last choice. So, Joe, what? It's funny because I've just, while looking at the artwork, after you said that, I just had a quick sneaky peek at what it says. And the way they phrased it on here, it says, and so she makes one last request. May I send you and the rest of these pigs flying?
That describes it perfectly.
Is that how they've... Because I was looking at it, I was thinking like that. This looks like a period thing. Like cause it looks like it's. It looks, I don't know, what, 1600s or 1700s? I don't know, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she has kind of like a Marie Antoinette kind of look, right?
Yeah, and then she's got these black gloves with knuckle...
Yeah.
Well, not knuckle dusters, but you know what I mean? They're like pointy elements built yeah. into the knuckles. Kind of, when is this... What am I looking at?
So what I've described to you now, and I think, yeah, probably I've looked at the English blurb, and I think it was very close to the Japanese one. It's probably just a translation because the publisher is the same.
Yeah, it sounds the same.
This is like the first 10 or 20 pages of the book only. So, you know, she punches the prince in the face. She punches the new girl. It's a fist fight. And that's so great. Bizarre. I loved it.
Wow. It looks like there are quite a few volumes already.
Yeah, it's up to volume 11 in Japan, and 11. I wasn't able to say if it's over or if it's still going on, but maybe on a break. I'm not sure. The thing it's based on a series of light novels. I've mentioned light novels before. Mm. Yeah, Japanese novels. It's basically manga without pictures, and some of those light novels are really popular. The most popular one generally gets adapted into an anime or in a manga or in both. And that's the case here. Actually, before reading the manga, I've discovered that one on Netflix, but it's probably available on many different platforms. There is an anime for it.
For may I ask for one final thing? There's an anime?
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to have a quick look in this little sneaky trickster because like this sounds funny. Is it funny?
It's hilarious.
It sounds like it should
be. It's hilarious. Because, you know, so it popped up on my Netflix and I really liked the look of the girl. And she had silver hair with bright blue eyes. And she's, you know, very elegant, very pretty. I've just clicked on it. And after a few minutes, she was punching the prince. And I said, wow, I love that one. So, of course, there's a bit more to the story. The one she punched is a second in line. She then meets the other prince, the first in line. There is a lot of things going on in the kingdom of who wants to be the next king and story with slaves and everything and mysteries. But usually, you know, she ends up punching people, losing her temper. But while always looking, you know, very, elegant. Very elegant. Yeah. She's a princess.
Well, there we go. It's part of the role. I can't find it, unfortunately, on the English Netflix, so maybe it's not been translated yet, because I would have quite happily given that a watch later on tonight.
So, I don't know, maybe on a different streaming app. I'm not sure where it's available in all over the world. May I ask for one final thing? So, very different from Mucha.
Vastly different, but still incredibly appealing.
If you're looking for a fun one, it's a fun read. It's just fun.
Right, I'm going to have to pick that up. Do you realize that?
I do.
It just sounds
I,
so
I knew
random.
You would love it.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know what? I was pretty sure you would be very interested in the second one.
Yeah.
But I guess you would love the last one.
Well, for two entirely different reasons. Yeah. But yeah. No, I think they're a really interesting choice. I mean, you might as well be the one feels like a very, I don't know, I could say traditional kind of love story thing, obviously
yes.
with its own little
twist. Oh, definitely.
Twist, which sounds definitely. Great. Hand in Hand with Mu-chan sounds like a really insightful book and probably a bit of a tearjerker on occasion as well, which I do kind of mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. And there's like a personal thing in there as well, because obviously I'm on the old spectrum as it is, so... Be interesting to see what the take is. And may I ask for one final thing? May I ask for one final thing that we can review this book in our
we could
in our definitely. Manga book club episodes.
But the thing is, we would probably agree on everything about it.
Maybe, but hey, it's we might not always, but that might be one where we do.
Because I know you love this, you know, like really cheesy kind of setting.
Yeah, I love a bit of silliness, man. It's just fun. So, great choices, as always. Did you have any that didn't quite make the mark?
Not really. To be honest, There were a lot, really. Like, I made a list. I had like maybe 80 different titles or something. I obviously didn't read them all. I've had to pick up from there, but
Think that's fair.
a lot of them are really not appealing to me. They look like something I've already read, or they have these very long titles, and you look at a few pages and you notice that there isn't much there actually. They're just trying to monetize maybe some trend or something, and I think that's the I've already said that before, but in my opinion, and some people may disagree with me, but because there's such demand now for new manga with all the online apps and the webtoons and whatever and the international market, that there's just too much being published.
This
And
sounds familiar, doesn't it? This sounds
it
like
does.
90s mainstream comics.
It does. So, unfortunately, I think there is something for everyone out there, and it doesn't have to be the same. We don't need to all love the same books, the same titles. I'm fine with that. But when you have 80 titles and that, at most you have maybe like between 5 or 10 that are like worth mentioning, I think at some point, we need to curate what's being published a bit
Yeah,
more.
very much so. I 100% agree. Instead of, do you mean 80, 90 titles that are volume ones?
That are volume ones, yes, only volume ones or like
So
one
that's
shots.
not even counting pre-existing, ongoing.
No.
That's a
So that's like
lot, a lot.
for one quarter, right? So it's like
Yeah.
probably 300 new volume ones a year. And that's just for the English market, right? So
Yeah,
it's even worse in
true.
Japan. It's
It
even
should
worse
be
in
better
Japan.
in theory, shouldn't it? If you think like, oh, the variety's good, but if it's just being produced to flood the market.
Yeah. And a lot of great stuff is probably, getting swallowed in all that
That's the
wave
danger, isn't
of
it?
like very, generalistic content.
Yeah, well, do you know what? On the plus side, though, is we have someone who shows up here once a quarter to tell us about the stuff we shouldn't miss.
Oh, really? Oh, you should introduce
Yeah.
me to him.
Oh, I will. You'll be able to listen to him at the Omniverse Comics Guide podcast at omniversecomics.guide. He's
Oh, I'll be
called
sure to listen to
Raph
it.
something or other. I can't even remember his name.
I don't know, but that's a cool name.
It is, isn't it? And he always picks really interesting choices. So, yeah, I'll have to thank him next time I see him.
Say hi to him.
Well. So,
I'm sure
go.
he's very handsome.
Very, very dashing, I believe. European
Based
lad.
from
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what they say? I've no
It's a
idea what
bit
they say.
arousing. Ooh.
I never said that, just for clarity. So, Raph, oh, you got the same name as him. Thank you once again for coming back and really pulling out some gems from this tidal wave of manga that seems to be coming at us. It's great to have stuff to choose from, but it's also great to have someone guiding us to the stuff that's worth picking up. And what a variety you've given us today.
I'm
So
trying.
cool. Yeah,
I'm trying to
you're
mix it up.
succeeding, I think. So new manga spotlight episodes are normally at omniversecomics.guide, but you can also just follow us on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. They're also mixed in with our other regular episodes focused on American and sometimes European comics. But yeah, if you want to listen to more manga, then the new manga spotlight episodes are every quarter. Plus, we're doing our semi-regular manga book club episodes. We've got two of those out already, and we're no doubt going to have another one before too long. So follow us at omniversecomics.guide for updates on new episodes, be they podcasts, occasionally videos, or little snippets of videos that are on our various social media platforms when we can be bothered to do those because social media currently sucks. But you can get plenty more recommendations on the manga front from our beloved Raph. Raph, thank you once again for always coming back with these recommendations, because it's always a good time, even just listening to what they're about.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm always having a great time trying
Cool.
to to corrupt you with new hangers.